you're all set.
Good.
Yeah, so you're the first one on, so we've still got a few minutes, so we'll just hang out. I'm still doing a little bit of preparing, so if you want to put yourself on mute, that's either *6 or just the mute button on your phone.
Okay. I will do that for a few more minutes.
Yeah, and then, then when more people get on the call, then we'll go from there.
That sounds great.
Okay, awesome.
Thanks, Dento.
You're welcome. Hello.
Hi, this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We've also got Jill on the call, and we're just waiting. So we're going to wait a few more minutes. If you want to put yourself on mute for the moment.
Yeah, that's *6, right?
Yeah, *6.
Okay, thanks.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Bibi.
Hi, BB. How are you?
I am doing very well. How are you, Chantal?
Good. I'm good. Thank you.
Who else is there?
Well, we've got Sarah and Jill, and they're both on mute. We're going to just give ourselves a few more minutes here before we dig in.
Okay. Very well. I'll put myself on mute as well.
Thank you.
How do I do that again?
Oh, *6.
Say again?
Oh, *6.
*6. Okay, uh-huh. Very well, thanks.
Uh-huh. Hi there, who's this?
This is Archer, hi.
Hi, Archer, how are you?
I'm doing good. How do I turn the phone so that you don't hear background noise? I forgot.
*6.
Okay. Thank you. Uh-huh. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. I'm looking forward to talking with you tonight.
Yes, me and you too.
Great. Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, it's Erin.
Hi, Erin. Long time no talk.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Yes.
Hello. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Darlene.
Hi, Darlene. Yay, you made it.
Are we all here?
Good. Many of us are here. I'm gonna give us 2 more minutes. So go ahead and mute yourself by either hitting the mute button on your phone or *6.
Okay.
Hello, who's this? Yeah.
Debbie Dornis.
Hi, Debbie. And who else came on?
Jody.
Hi, Jody. Yay.
Good. Hello.
Hi, good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, we'll give it just 1 more minute, so and then we'll dig in. So if everybody just wants to make sure they're muted, *6, or mute on your phone, and then I'm going to start with an awareness practice, and yeah, we'll go from there. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and get started. I was hoping Harjeet would be joining us from Canada, but I don't want to delay anymore, so no biggie if more people jump on. Thank you so much, everybody, for getting on the call. We have actually a pretty large group. It's not everybody, but it's a fairly large group, which is really exciting because the case study is going to be really fun to look at. And, and I've got some cool stuff to kind of talk about with everybody. So nice to be able to be in community this way when we're all, you know, spread out and all over the place. So here, if you haven't been on one of the group calls, yet, here's the basic format is that I will take us through a short, grounding, awareness practice. And today we're actually going to be doing one that's in your mentoring manual. So I want you to take note of this, and I would encourage you to make it a practice for the month of March. And it is awareness practice number 2, which is on page 125. And I like this one not only for us personally as teachers as a tool, but I feel like there is a way to translate this to our students, which can be incredibly valuable. The essence of this practice is that we're working with identifying and becoming non-reactive to sensations, thoughts, and experiences. So sensations in the body, thoughts obviously in the mind, and then qualities of experience based on 3 designations: pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. And we can take this from a strictly body perspective and just noticing how the body responds. But what's really interesting to me is when we can begin to identify when and if there's a correlation between a body experience, physical experience, and a mind experience. So this is just a really sweet practice. Really valuable, and I hope you enjoy it. So that will be the first part. And then we're going to do a little brief check-in. And our check-ins usually look like this. Just to say your name, and maybe in this case to say where you're from will be nice. And because many of you have not, you know, actually talked to one another. And then say one word or a short phrase about what you're bringing with you today and how you're showing up. So it might be excitement, it could be tiredness, it could be curiosity. That's what you're bringing with you, and how you're showing up. You know, they could be the same thing. Sometimes it's reflective of not only how we're showing up in this present moment, but what we're bringing with us. Like for me, February was total insanity and so highly generative. I was creating nonstop all month. So I'm coming into this call with a sense of, levelness, steadiness, a sense of, calming, but moving in, in the flow, but easy. So, and happy. So that's something that you could share. And then we'll move into the case study, and then we'll wrap up with, I have, now what I'm going to do monthly is I'm going to, suggesting a section of the mentoring manual to study, and I'll tell you what that section is. And then there'll be a very short, assignment that goes with that, that you'll have to reflect on and work on for the month. So let's get started. Hopefully you are in a place where you can be quiet and potentially close your eyes and sit still for a few moments. If you're driving, don't close your eyes, but do just bring your attention to your breath. So inhaling through your nose, feeling the coolness of the air as it comes in, and exhaling out through your mouth, softly parted lips, easy jaw. And just notice your breath without needing to change it or make it different in any way. It's just the most perfect, beautiful breath, just exactly as it should be in this moment, which is ever-changing. So in through your nose and out through your mouth. And feel your feet, potentially your feet on the floor. Feel your seat. Feel your hips or your legs or your back. And just allow your body to rest. So the outer edges begin to soften, but your deep internal integrity is maintained, lifted light and long. Easy breath in through the nose and out through gently parted lips. So this idea of identifying or naming the experience as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So what I'd like you to do is to just find a sensation in the body. Notice anything that arises in your awareness. And I want you to just name it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Now you may find your attention going to a specific body part, or you might find that your attention settles on your overall experience. And just keep your breath moving in through your nose, out through your mouth. And stick with this point of awareness for a moment. Notice if it stays the same or if it shifts as you are aware of it. What's the felt sense? Is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? And just objective. Observing the quality. But as you do so, I want you to become aware of any story that is attached to the experience. What does your mind begin to do as you identify this physical experience as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Often, if the experience is neutral, we're willing to kind of be objective. We're willing to just be non-attached to the experience. Often, if the felt experience is unpleasant, there are stories about where it came from, why it's there, how you can get it to go away, or even thoughts about that it shouldn't be that way or it needs to be different. Often if the felt experience is pleasant, there is a sense of pleasure, of grasping, of wanting it to stay and be the same. So just stick with the physical awareness, noticing if it is the same or if it has shifted, and then noticing perhaps what the mental story is. And if there's no mental story, that's fine. If nothing is coming to the surface and just stick with the physical sensation. Naming it as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Sticking with this first and one experience, this sensation, notice for a moment your mind. Does your mind feel pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Do you feel at ease, calm, agitated, anxious? Or is there a sense of equanimity and balance in the mind? Notice if the felt experience matches the mind experience. If the felt experience is unpleasant, is the mind necessarily unpleasant? Can the mind be pleasant or neutral even if the body sensation is unpleasant? Now, this is not a encouragement to make it the same or different, but just to notice for yourself what happens. Come back to your breath, in through your nose and out through your mouth. And let your attention refocus on the overall experience of the body, of being still. And then slowly let your attention shift to another sensation in the body. Notice the sensation. Is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Taking a few breaths into that, noticing if the felt sense experience changes or stays the same. And then begin to notice if there are any stories, excuses, justifications, a desire to make it different, to change it, reasons why it is the way it is. Notice if it's a pleasant experience, what stories arise around being proud, that it feels good, giving yourself or somebody else credit because it feels good. Just notice what the mind does, what stories or beliefs it produces the moment we identify a sensation in the body. And then notice the mind quality. If the sensation is pleasant, does that necessarily make the mind quality pleasant? Or is it neutral? Or is the mind perhaps unpleasant, even if the body or felt sensation is unpleasant? And bringing your attention back to the breath, in through your nose and out through your mouth. Let your eyes open and begin to move. Stretch a little. Move your jaw around, scrunch up your fingers and your toes, stretch your neck. And just take a moment to reflect on that practice, noticing or reiterating for yourself any insights or anything of interest, any value that might have been derived from that practice. And take a big, giant breath in. And let the breath out easily. So that is awareness practice number 2, knowing the mind through the body. And that's on page 125 in your mentoring manual. So I would just encourage you to work with that on your own as an awareness practice for yourself for the month of March. And next time we get on our call, or even on the Facebook forum, we can kind of check in about that. I really, really like that one, as I said. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to do a brief check-in with everybody, and I'm going to do my best to call on you based on who came on the call first. And if I miss somebody, forgive me. You can just jump in at the end. So I think Jill was the first one to come on. So Jill, if you want to unmute yourself and just say where you're from and also one word to describe how you're showing up today. So Jill, we can't hear you. So if you want to unmute yourself, you want to push *6 again.
Okay, there I am.
Yeah, hi.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So I'm Jill from Petaluma, California, and I'm really looking forward to this call, it being my first one. I'm very curious and excited.
Mm-hmm.
And after the awareness practice, I am feeling a sense of calm.
Very good.
Which makes me very happy.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Sarah?
Hello?
Hi.
I wanted to be able to say that I was feeling a sense of calm, but if I'm being honest with myself, I'm a little distracted is really how I am.
And that's okay. So you're bringing stress with you to the call?
Well, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said you're bringing stress with you to the call. What are you bringing with you?
Well, bringing distractions. not stress necessarily, just I'm not bringing focus, so whatever the opposite of focus is.
Okay. Okay, I think we get it.
All right.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you. And Sarah, you're from Sebastopol.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay, Bibi?
So I am Bibi. And I am from Albion, which is in Mendocino County. And I am feeling very interested. That's what I'm showing up with.
Great. Great. Thank you. And Erin?
Yes. Okay. This is Erin. I'm from Windsor. And I am showing up a little bit scrambly today, but I feel slightly more relaxed after the practice. So
great.
I'm happy for that.
Great.
That's the opposite of where I've been living.
Yes, great. Thank you. And it's very interesting mm-hmm. that it is possible to be busy, right, and moving quickly and still have a sense of calm and relaxation, I think. It's not easy, but it's possible. So hopefully you'll take that with you into the rest of your busy day.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's see. Darlene? So *6 to unmute yourself. Alrighty, we're still not, I still can't hear you, Darlene, so I'm gonna move on. So see if you can get it, your mute button figured out. Archer?
Hi, this is Archer. I'm from Napa, and I am showing up with curiosity, and after the meditation, I feel calm and relaxed.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Archer. And Jody?
I'm Jody, and I'm from Northern Virginia, right outside of D.C. I am peaceful in the moment and getting really excited about snow.
Oh, awesome. Very good. Very good. There's another gal in our mentoring group from Pennsylvania, and she, I was talking to her today. She said they've had the coldest February like on record, and their average temperature has been 20.4 degrees all month. So she is in the opposite situation. She's definitely not looking forward to snow.
It's the last big one. We'll go out with a bang.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jody. Glad to have you on the call. And Debbie.
Thank you. I'm Debbie. I'm from Napa. And after the exercise, I feel focused and managed. I don't want to say managed, but that sounds funny, but more able to manage.
Okay.
And then last month, I should say my one word for the month is recentering after a very busy February.
Yes, very nice. I'm with you. I'm with you there for sure. Thank you. Darlene, do you want to give it another shot?
Hello?
Hi, yay, there you are.
I don't know how that happened. Okay, I am feeling full of anticipation and an eagerness to learn.
Awesome.
And I feel very calm and relaxed after the meditation or awareness practice.
Awesome, very good. Lovely. Perfect, thank you. Did I miss anybody? Okay, very good. Yay me. All right, so we're going to move into this case study. Thank you to BB for presenting us with a very interesting student to study. And what I want to do is I'm just going to review these notes real quick. And what I have done is I have picked out some key areas of focus and some areas of interest. And just to give us a little bit of guidance in terms of our discussion. And hold on one second. I want to pull the worksheet up too. So we have a case study and an exercise focus worksheet. And I want to use it because I want you to get used to using it. So the case study worksheet, what it outlines is the basic information for the student, the age, activity level, current activities, pain level, potential pain or pain potential, and then goals. And then, usually I think about overarching like primary movement goals and then what to release, stretch/open, and then what to strengthen in that order. So opening, releasing, stretching first, how do I prime and tune the body? And then what then can I do to balance, recruitment, balance, weaknesses, strength, strengthening, alignment, that kind of thing. So And then also we can talk about it in terms of, you know, what movement principles might you want to be working on with this student, and then what progressions, etc. So, and BB, feel free to jump in here anytime. So we've got a 70-year-old gal who comes and works with BB one time a week. She's a little overweight, and BB has described her as living a few inches away from her body, which makes some sense to me given the fact that she wears a corset, which, BB, I'm interested to hear more about that. Right now, you're working mostly on stretching, tracking with footwork, and getting her to get in touch with her core, and working on her gait. I love the fact that you're working with the sense of rhythm with her, because that appeals, I'm sure, to her as a musician. That's wonderful. So you have said that that her right side fatigues more. Let me back up for a second.
Yeah, she had a complete hip replacement of her right hip.
Ah, okay, I missed that somehow. So hip replacement, right hip replacement makes a lot of sense, though, because she's got greater external rotation on the right-hand side, and she's also experiencing some groin pain, right, on the right hand, the right side.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Especially in rotation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we have to be careful with that, and also tends to grip very quickly in her hip flexors. So, you know, roll downs, that kind of thing,
yeah,
is difficult for her to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And unilaterally or more on the right side?
It's on both sides. The roll up is difficult. You know, I do assisted roll down with the roll down bar, but I stopped doing that. That was just too grippy for her.
Yeah. Yeah. So
also in sideways, I have her in mermaid on the arc and then coming up. That is hard for her to do on her right side. I always have her bend her leg then,
uh-huh,
to come back up, and that seems to work. But if she has her leg straight, then it can shoot in there.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, good. You've had some success with pregnant cat, which is on all fours, right? So releasing the belly and then re-engaging the whole core unit.
Yeah.
But then being on the wrists is an issue. And marching while supine on the soft ball, that's brilliant for balance, teaching pelvic stability and engaging the core. Great. So using unstable surfaces to get her into those deep core muscles. Okay, so that's – and then we've had a video watching her walk, which I thought was really fascinating. So here's what I want to do. Here, in my mind, here are my key areas of focus. Right leg and hip integration. So finding balance in the right leg and hip, integrating it into the whole, right? And you can see that that's not happening when you watch her walking. So right leg integration, right knee tracking, I am very interested in the hip flexors, and then another area of interest would be just you know, the limitation of weight bearing on the wrists, and then the corset. And for me, my note to myself was, so it's interesting. So where to try to get to the bottom of where, and you can maybe shed some light on this for us, Phoebe, where. Why she does that, how long she's been doing it, what purpose does she feel like it serves? And then the fact that really that something like a corset becomes like a crutch, right? So that over time it really will diminish the body's felt sense awareness, and the body's ability to build that neuromuscular memory that's so important, which I feel like, without knowing this woman or having worked with her, my sense is that this, as I'm sure you have also come to this conclusion to some degree, Bibi, it is one of the things that's perhaps preventing her from getting in touch with her core in a way that she might. So that's very interesting to me.
I agree totally. And I've carefully broached the subject of her not always wearing the corset.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, she has she's not happy with her body, so she has poor body image.
Mm.
And therefore, she wears the corset. I've been working with her now for a year and a half, so we're getting to a place where I might, you know, with the right wording, be able to encourage her to sometimes come in without it.
Yeah.
And to maybe, yeah.
And you see her privately, so there's nobody else around.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's touch on that, before we wrap, you know, before we stop talking about this. I have a thought or two. And then the gate compensations. So before I tell you what I saw, I would love, for anybody who is feeling, inspired or compelled to jump in and either let us know what you saw on the video. What did you observe in her gait, and or any ideas that you feel like you have in terms of working with this woman? Don't be shy.
Chantel, I'd like to jump in. It's Debbie here.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks.
You know, with the information that was given, I had, in watching her walk and thinking about the corset, and Bibi, you mentioned a poor body image. I wonder if, I don't know, if there could be a way where she would allow Bibi to, she would allow herself to be more vulnerable by, you know, coming, remove the corset at her home and then put it on before she leaves, and then come to that little greater awareness. There is a deeper, there's a deeper level where she can go to. And, for some reason, I know there's a lot of technical things that I can call out right now, but I'm thinking that emotionally, that corset brings her a lot of protection and safety, and to remove that would make her more vulnerable.
Mm.
And yet, if the measure of trust, which after a year and a half, there should be a pretty good measure of trust with your teacher, that, she could go to the next step. I think that would be a really risky thing for her, but also a very healthy thing for her to go to. All right, just my thoughts. Sorry.
No, that's great. Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate that. So let's just go there for a moment. And the way this works, everybody, is just jump in, right? So don't just feel free to jump in. But I think my original thought about the corset was, yes, that perhaps there is a way to encourage her to see the physical space of the studio where she's with you, Bibi, as a safe place to really experience the body as fully as possible, not visually, right, not aesthetically, but from a feeling perspective. And so I was just feeling like those are maybe ideas or words that I would choose, because yes, as you pointed out, Debbie, obviously there is a high degree of vulnerability when the corset is off. And when you were talking, I just had this idea of perhaps, Bibi, she would be willing to take the corset off at home in the privacy of her own home with nobody looking to perform one or two Pilates exercises that you give her, and to present this to her as, a way of checking in with herself to notice whether or not she indeed feels a greater level of physical connectedness to her core, like maybe to get her to just do pregnant cat at home without the corset. So that's just something that kind of popped out to me, because maybe she's not ready to do that in front of you, and maybe having that experience at home and having some proof that in fact her physical experience could be enhanced and she could develop greater strength. You know, if it's about body image, perhaps it's about drawing her awareness to the idea that with enhanced felt sense comes enhanced potential for strength. And with enhanced strength comes enhanced toning and, you know, the shifting of the physical shape. So anyway, those are just to piggyback on what Debbie said. If anybody...
Absolutely. This is Bibi again. I have encouraged her to do some things at home, and just little bitty things. And it is so far from her mind that even as soon as she walks out of the studio, she starts lifting a lot more than she does in the studio.
Huh.
It just, yeah. And so I am, it's a slow process with her.
Yeah, sure.
It all makes totally sense what you're saying, because that's kind of my sense as well. I've mentioned her corset as far as drawing away from the corset when she's engaging her core, and then her response was, "Oh, it's not very tight," you know.
Yeah.
So, is she using like a corset with like boning and lace, or is she using like Spanx?
No, it's more one of these stretchy things.
Mm. Okay. So they have, like, different levels of those. Like, some of them are much more, they hold you in a lot more. So maybe just encouraging her when she comes into the studio, just start by just getting something that's not as tight, like the loosest one they have. Because when she takes that off, not only is there the body image, but she's going to feel, like, physically naked and uncomfortable, you know? So maybe just doing something with, like, really, like, almost not really doing anything at all, but more as, like, a mental crutch just to start. Obviously, the goal is to get her out of the corset altogether, but that might be, like, a baby step to take, you know, that's a little, she might find more comfortable.
That's Sarah talking, right?
Yes, Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah, okay.
I'm actually going to have to leave, so I don't know if you're going to hear me do that, but I'm sorry. I just say that before I go.
Yeah, and now it's like you're walking out of the studio and everybody's staring at you.
Yeah. You guys, I'm going to listen to it later. So
okay.
Anyway,
great,
thank you.
Sarah. Thanks. Bye. Funny. Okay, does anybody else have any thoughts about the corset?
Comment isn't so much, it's Darlene, regarding the corset, but I just have a couple questions.
Sure.
Is there time for
that? Yes, go ahead, sure.
Okay. So she has wrist issues, you said, and I was just thinking, has she tried wearing wrist supports or using a pillow or anything like that, or a wedge for the wrist issue, doing things on all fours? That was one question I had. And then also, when I looked over what you said you are doing, are you also doing any kind of forward flexion with her at all? Or is it all, because it all sounded like it was mostly on her back, that the core work was mostly done on her back. Is that correct? And I was just curious, if so, why not doing any forward flexion?
I tend to avoid forward flexion somewhat with this age group, just because people around here are not tested for it, so they don't really know their status. What I've been doing is on the arc, when she's sitting in the well, and then doing abdominal work that way, from a sitting position, leaning back, and then coming back up. So there's a little bit of flexion happening in that, for sure.
Right.
And as far as the wrists go, I've used a little wedge for the wrists as well, and... yeah, it slips takes away. I don't find that that little thing that's useful for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, she, you know, her hands is her work, right? She's a piano player, so she's very, very protective of her hands.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I tried to get her maybe on her elbows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, and doing, you know, doing a little alternate arms and leg lifts that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just make one comment? This is Jody. I have wrist issues, and I find that if you roll up a mat and you elevate the palm that way, the whole mat is elevated, and then the fingers take more of the weight rather than the wrist, and then nothing slips away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah. Thank you, Jody. Yeah. Yeah, so let's dive into the core issue, and also then looking at not only perhaps, Bibi, are you intentionally minimizing forward flexion, but also that the forward flexion that you have done, such as roll downs, assisted roll downs, the roll down bar, then the challenge becomes a cramping or tightening of the hip flexors.
Okay.
Yeah. So does anybody have any thoughts or ideas about alternatives or how they might start to address that? If we did want to get her into more forward flexion or at least to be able to do roll downs with the roll down bar, because as we know then, in that roll down series, we could add minimal lateral flexion. We could add rotation. We could add pulses. We could add arm work. I mean, it kind of opens us up for a lot of things. So, anybody having any ideas about that, about how they might address that?
Well, Chantel, it's Debbie.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. I think a roll down bar is a really great opportunity to help her develop, you know, that flexion with support of the bar. And of course, you can position the clip higher on the spring to get her more support if needed until she gains that strength to be able to, you know, to really articulate her spine down and back. And then I'm not sure how her knees are, but I don't know why I think of this, but rolling in and out is also something that you could do from a kneeling position with the roll down bar. And she does come into a supine position, all forward position with the bar as she comes into that arch, you know, that cat arch, and then goes into the sway.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that would be something on the push-through bar that could be beneficial for her to do kneeling cat. And then you're going to get that, you know, cat-cow type of movement without your wrists on the ground, you know. So that would be another option. And if I could just address to her hips, I think to stretch those hips out, bring one leg to 90 degrees straight up to the ceiling, place the TheraBand on her arch, release that hip by flexing the foot, and just hold that position for 45 seconds. And, you know, and then laterally stretching it by taking the band out to the right side, right hip, you know, just finding that a way to release those hip flexors. I think that's going to really bring her a little bit more into where the tenderness is in those hip flexors, and then her body awareness, her muscle awareness will increase too by doing some of those simple stretches, you know, coming into on her back in supine, a figure four stretch where you take one ankle and you cross it over the opposite knee with the foot flat on the floor, and then press into that inner thigh and try to release that hip. That's another way for her to feel just a release in there and come into that body awareness as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Debbie, for all of that. There are a couple of things I want to point out. I actually really like the idea of rolling in and out, and I like kneeling cat with the push-through bar unloaded even better.
Unloaded, okay.
Yeah, unloaded, because it's a little less confrontive, right? It's a little bit harder work in some of the ranges, but I think you could have a hand on the bar, BB, and you could be guiding her in those moments where she feels a little bit less strong. But great opportunity for flexion extension and, you know, making the hand grip something that she's comfortable with, thumb over, thumb under, depending. How it relates to the hips is that any quadruped position, it puts the psoas muscle in a lengthened, relaxed position. So that's actually really good for us in regards to this student. It also primes the psoas for responding without being in the chronically tight and weak position, which is my assumption with her, which is going to be the case for most people, is a tight, weak psoas. So quadruped really kind of lets the psoas hang like a drape right down towards the floor. And then, so kneeling cat with push-through bar puts the psoas in that position. And then, of course, when you roll back up to full kneeling, right, standing on the knees all the way upright, then the psoas has to work as a stabilizer. So I love it for that, for both reasons, could be incredibly beneficial. The hip flexors, to me, it's not just about stretching them. I really feel like working eccentrically through the psoas, so thinking of stretching, lengthening and strengthening simultaneously. And one of the things that you can do from quadruped, and what I would maybe explore, BB, is have her forearms on the short box, just on the mat, and... you know, so she's not having to be at that downward angle, which can be kind of wonky posturally and, or, you know, for organizing the neck, head, and shoulders. But put her up forearms on a short box with her hands, fingers wrapped over the edge, and then single leg extension. So psoas is in a released, lengthened position. If you extend one leg and internally rotate it, that stretches the psoas. And then you abduct and adduct, which could be really beneficial for both hips, but also the hip replacement. Of course, depending on when the hip replacement happened and whether or not medial crossing the midline is contraindicated or not, you'll have to make those decisions. But when we internally rotate and then abduct and adduct, that stretches and strengthens the psoas. So... that could be an incredibly beneficial exercise to always put towards the beginning of a session to help prime that muscle for working appropriately and not overworking. Is all of that making sense?
Yeah, so you're doing the AB and AD deduction in internal rotation.
Correct.
While she is with the forearms on the short box?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, the hip replacement was already 2 years ago. And just after she had the surgery, the doctor didn't want any physical therapy, which surprised me.
Yeah. So, but they probably didn't go in. If it was only 2 years ago, they probably didn't go in laterally. Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, you might ask, because it used to be that hip replacements, like four... earlier than maybe 4-5 years ago, they were going in laterally on the side of the hip, and that's why adduction across the midline was contraindicated almost forever with people who had hip replacements, because it put too much pressure on the lateral aspect of the hip, so too much potential for hip displacement. But now they're going in on the front, so they've developed their process, and if it went, even if they went in from, I think it's just the front. It's not behind. It's the front, I believe. Midline, crossing the midline is not really going to be a long-term issue. It might be a short-term limitation, but not a long-term limitation. So you might see if you can get that information from her. And, you know, just to kind of bring it in relationship to the extension work that we talked about in the quarterly workshop in February, it seems to me that she might really benefit from acquiring the ability to get that hip sigh and that sacral movement in terms of just improving the rhythms of the pelvis and the relationship of the leg to the pelvis, which in my mind is also going to be a piece of the puzzle in terms of not getting that psoas or the other hip flexors to overwork, right? Because they're overworking because other things are not working. So anyway, I think that could be relevant. That could be really relevant to her, like the bridging with the hip sigh, right? Sticking the tail out, or even that sacral rocking that we did could be a way of kind of re-energizing the whole hip and pelvis, which definitely would not be detrimental for her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. Okay. Right.
Thank you. And yeah, so what you're finding the most thing to that is usually contraindicated first off, depending on how they entered, is the adduction across the midline.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going to have to make a video on this because I think some of you haven't done this with me, but the psoas release and strengthener. What I kind of jokingly call the non-Pilates exercise. It's a Franklin technique. Is something that I would probably do with her regularly, supporting the weight of her leg. So just quickly, this is when the student is on their back with just the tailbone elevated about an inch, so that it posteriorly tips the pelvis and the low back and ribs are completely heavy in the mat. And then the legs come into the body, bent knees into the body. One leg just gently extended to the sky. So knee is bent, ankle is loose and floppy. And then the intention or goal of the exercise is to keep the abdominals passive the entire time. So the low back and ribs have to stay down, but not via abdominal effort, right? Just via positioning. So, and then the leg that's extended to the ceiling lowers to the floor as low as it can without engaging the abdominals. The knee bends and the heel drags in towards the butt, and then the leg extends to the ceiling again. So it's a bicycling action. Many of you have done that with me. I do it in the anatomy course. I've done it. I do it all the time. But, for the sake of clarity, maybe later this week I'll put together a little 5-minute video. But that is something, Bibi, that I would do with her, as I said, on a regular basis. And I would probably stand, at her hips and support that leg a little bit, especially on the right side, the hip replacement side. So, because that's an eccentric strengthener of the psoas. And, it's like literally this idea of working from the inside out is really key, especially when we're talking about joint injury or joint replacement. So we want the psoas, to be working well so that the abdominals can then work well on top of that. But strengthening the abdominal, the outer core, right. And then going to the inner core, it just doesn't work well. For long-term function. I think that's all I was going to say about that.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Chantel, can I ask Bibi a question?
Sure. Of course.
It's Debbie. So Bibi, what is her intention
in coming to you? What are her goals?
She wants to strengthen her core.
Okay.
Yeah.
But really doesn't like exercise and is generally not, you know, she feels great afterwards. That's why I do a fair amount of stretches, stuff that I think is good to get her in her body, and I sneak in some core stuff and keep repeating with all the stretches stuff to still engage the core.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. That's a good question, Debbie. Well, I feel like a lot of the things that we have talked about so far would eventually address how she's using her legs in her gait. Does anybody have other suggestions or ideas about core strengthening for this student before we talk about her gait? Anything that you have found? I mean, because we all have worked with clients who have grippy hip flexors. That's a pretty common thing. Has anybody found anything that is successful for them or you think might be worth trying? Okay, well, I have some suggestions. Hi, Archer. Go for it.
Can I jump in real quick?
Please do, yes.
I have a client who's had a hip replacement. She's 72, sounds very similar with a lateral approach. I start her out by lying on the Cadillac with, I don't know if you are familiar with the sandbags.
Mm-hmm.
And I place the sandbags at her chest and at the creases of her hips with a bolster, with a small bolster under her knees. And that is sometimes enough to see her whole body sigh.
Uh-huh.
Something about I think they're 7 to 10 pound sandbags. And something about it giving the client, the muscles, permission to let go.
Great.
So I'll just throw that in there. Thank you.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, really great. Good. So not only does that affect the soft tissue, but it also primes the nervous system, right, for taking them out of any kind of tension pattern. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that, Archer. I think that working on the Pilates arc is a great approach, and I would encourage you to keep adding stuff to that for her. Maybe that's just where you do the bulk of your core work for a while until you can see a shift in the hip flexor activation. And I don't know if you actually have a Pilates arc, one of the black ones.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so...
I've had it for probably a year or a year and a half or so.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is what I also like is turning the arc over and taking the step off and using the rocking aspect of the arc. So I was just thinking of in terms of building body awareness, building... kind of a level of interest, mental and physical engagement, you know, doing things even like kneeling with the forearms on the flat surface of the arc and rocking right to left. I like this for her, both for diagonal core strength. So strengthening the anterior and posterior slings of the body, but also because one of the primary things that I noticed in her gait is that she's not rotating, which is not uncommon, particularly in folks her age, but that there is very little that I could see rotation happening through the middle of the body, the rib cage, the thoracic spine. And when that stops rotating, then we compensate through a lateral swinging of the hips, which is definitely happening for her, which is then exacerbated by, you know, her, the hip replacement. So, I would say we could talk more about that or explore that because, you know, one, unstable surface, excellent. Two, encouraging some neuromuscular, you know, just proprioceptive stimulation, core strengthening. I would, that would be a place that I would go, and start to explore a little bit. And then laying back on that flat surface with the tail hanging off one end and the head, off the other end and rocking back and forth is actually really nice. It's a soothing action, but it also can be core strengthening. So those are just
with a head supported by a hand.
You know, I put the occiput right at the edge of the arc, the flat part of the arc, and then my tail sit bones are kind of hanging off the other edge.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and you can play with that yourself and see what feels best. Yeah, but I think that's nice. It can be kind of fun, and it's subtle core work, but it's great. It's really nice. I'm curious, did anybody have any, what were your observations of her walking pattern when you watched the video? What stood out for you?
This is Bibi again.
She
walks side to side, and
yes,
she had just walked around the parking lot a little bit before she came in to do this. So she was already walking a little better than she normally does. Yeah, and she tends to hang on to her husband quite a bit.
Huh.
So that's sort of leaning on to somebody. I see her out in public quite a bit doing that.
This is Archer.
Hi,
can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
It all makes sense. The rotation not occurring. Her arms are not swinging.
Her
arms pretty still by her side.
Yes.
That was something that I noticed. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, which would be indicative of the rotation of the thorax not happening.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure, you can see this teetering, this kind of, you know, lumbering right, left. Yeah, very, very interesting. Anybody else pick up on anything in the walking?
I often encourage her to look up, to lift her gaze a bit.
Uh-huh.
And look down a bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not, you know, not uncommon patterns for many of us. Definitely exacerbated by a lack of integration of that right leg and hip. So, you know, not only trying to incorporate some more thoracic rotation, you know, using the arc if possible, or, you know, sitting on the box on the reformer and doing some cross-strapped, one-sided, you know, diagonal pulls. Does that make sense? That's, you know, sitting on the long box facing the risers, cross the straps, and like hold on to the right strap with your left hand and then pull the left strap back as you rotate to the left and reach forward with the right arm and right side of the body could be a really nice exercise for her. Mm-hmm. Great for core strengthening and great for encouraging rotation, starting with a light weight. Love that one. And, and just maybe coaching her a little bit about the walking, about the counter rotation that's happening through the upper and lower body. So, you know, some walking exercises that she can do, kind of, you know, accentuating a rotation of the upper body could help. As you said, I'm not sure how much that will stick for her when she leaves the studio, but, you know, we can only do what we can do. And so bringing it into the studio in a lot of different ways might just get her a little bit closer to that unconscious integration, right, that we're hoping for. Good. That feels good to me. Does anybody else have any final thoughts about this particular student? Or Bibi, do you have any thoughts or questions?
Well, just thanking you for these snippets, because it feeds into what I was already kind of thinking, but I hadn't really picked up the rotation part.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing some rotation, but I'll focus a lot more on that. So that's really great, and using the arc more in that opposite, in that other way. That sounds really great to do that with her.
Yeah, wonderful. Good.
Bibi?
Yeah.
It's Debbie. I just want to encourage you that you can inspire her to want to try more just by those encouraging words. And as you work with her, even though you only work with her once a week, I would encourage you to consider an exploration moment in class with her, and then try and experiment with some of these tools that Chantel has shared, and some of us have shared our thoughts, and then see if she can make little improvements. And I think that as you can do that with her, then she is going to become inspired to want to do a little bit more. And she'll see, I can do this movement. I need to really believe that I can do it and follow the right core movement in order to accomplish it. And then as she does that, then her confidence will gain in her body, and then it's amazing to me how much just that encouraging word, really helps. And so I just encourage you to encourage her.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Debbie. Okay. Well, great. So in the next week or so, I'll write up some notes from the call and into the worksheet so that so you all have it to look at and refer to. And if anything else comes up, or Bibi, you want to share any progress or how implementation of any of these ideas go, I'm sure we'd all be interested to hear about that. So thank you. That's always really exciting to take a real life student and just to get some feedback and thoughts and have a discussion around what might be helpful or what our ideas are. So I appreciate everybody's listening intently, even if you didn't contribute, and also all of the contributions. So I want to just wrap things up for us. And what you have the video now, all four parts from the workshop. If you are doing the online program remotely, it's on the online course platform, and you have questions that you need to answer. So to work on that during the month. And then if you were there in person, the video links are currently up on Facebook, and they will be on the resources page soon. And so to review those things and ask, feel free to ask questions on the forum, and to also post any success or challenges that you're having in terms of implementing anything from the workshop. So lots of really juicy stuff to kind of tide us through until our next workshop. And then in terms of what I would like to do, this is a little bit of an experiment, but what I would like to do for the month of March is assign a section of the manual for you to study and work on. And I'm going to set one task or homework assignment for you. And so the section is going to be working with a theme or a focus, and that's on page 163. I want you to read that section on picking a theme, working with a theme or focus, and then and I'll post this on the Facebook page, but what I would like you all to do is to come up with a theme or focus for the month that you are going to work with, and to create a program of or a core sequence that would embody this theme or focus that you can apply to the majority of your sessions and classes. So obviously it will have to be adapted depending on the level of the client and any specific goals. But if, for example, you might decide to work on rotation for the month. So if you're going to work on rotation, what does that look like? What's going to be the entry point for you? Are you going to base it on an exercise focus, right? So maybe you're going to focus for the month on working on saw or, mermaid twist or twist on the reformer. So, or maybe you're going to create the focus in terms of teaching, right? So identifying how to better rotate, right? What's that look like? Giving the student or the class some tools for improving rotation across the board. So rotation could be a focus. You could have an exercise focus or theme. So here, that's your homework for the month of March, is to read the section on theme and focus, page 163 to, I don't know how far it goes. I don't think it's a very large section. And then you will, the request is that you post your focus or theme and some ideas about how you're going to integrate that for the month on the Facebook forum. Okay? I'm imagining everybody is out there nodding their heads. Okay, so thank you, everybody, for spending an hour and 15 minutes with me and with everybody else. I look forward to connecting with many of you in the coming month or in this month for our one-on-ones. I've had a chance to connect with several of you already. So go ahead and come off of mute and let's say our goodbyes and we'll get on with our day.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Shinto.
You're very welcome.